Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But we ask that you hold your calls for the time being, because we have with us on the line from Maine, Charlotte Isabey. And Charlotte, of course, was with the Foreign Service for many years. And, of course, when did you retire from the Foreign Service, Charlotte?
Before I got married, 1962.
And how long were you with the Foreign Service?
From 1956 to 62.
All right.
6 years.
All right, fine. Well, do you miss that, traveling around the world?
And prior to that, I was with the American Red Cross from 53 to 56, and then from 66 to 62, 63 actually, yeah. I was working for General Douglas MacArthur II in Brussels. He was our ambassador to Belgium. That's the nephew of the general. Very interesting man. Very nice. Very good man.
All right, fine. Well, let's talk a little bit about, of course, Charlotte, when she came back to the United States, got very interested in education, and eventually she was, of course, appointed under the Reagan administration to a key administrative position in the Department of Education. What were you doing there?
I was a senior policy advisor in the Office of Educational Research and Improvement. And that was a new office that was created after the Department of Education was created in 1978. It always had research. It's not that they didn't have it, but it was a new office. And the interesting thing about that office was that it was connected with the United Nations, UNESCO, and the Office of Economic Cooperation and Development. And that's I got into those files. I got all the stuff out of those files, and after I was fired, they locked them. they locked the files up, which I thought was quite funny. I mean, if ever there was a story of the horse, you know, locking the barn after the horse is gone.
Well, of course, what you found was that our officials were working very closely with the communist officials, planning on a world educational system that would merge America's educational system with the Soviets. Would that be a fair statement?
Absolutely, with the Soviets and with all the other countries as well. But basically with the Soviets, it's always been U.S.-Soviet more than any other arrangement there, as you know, right? From the beginning of the last century, and the model there, U.S.-Soviet, has been replicated with American agreements with all countries, the internationalization of education, and so all countries are implementing what comes down from the United Nations, which of course is communist.
And, of course, the thing is, the average American does not understand. He thinks that we have a local school board that has something to do with education. Mm-hmm. We have local teachers. But
yes.
They, of course, have directives from above. And those directives,
That's
are,
right.
of course, to use the educational system not to educate, but change the attitudes and beliefs and values of our children. And children come out of school dedicated liberals. Why? Not because they have a soft heart, but because they've been indoctrinated in these socialistic, atheistic concepts designed to destroy their faith in God and family and country. Well, we're going to be back here in just a moment with Charlotte Isabey, and we're going to get into some fascinating, fascinating discussions this hour. You won't even want to think about changing the dial. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and our guest is Charlotte Isabey. And Charlotte, of course, was a chief policy analyst at the Department of Education in the 1980s. She served in the Foreign Service. She has written a book, The Deliberate Dumbing Down of America, which incidentally we carry. And, of course, she has gone extensively into the secret relationship between the educrats in America, the bureaucrats in the United States under the Reagan administration, and their counterparts in the Soviet Union. Now, you're supposed to believe, of course, that America is on one side and the communists are on the other, and the communists are the wicked enemy, and of course, that's what you're supposed to believe. But the truth of the matter is that our officials have worked with communism since its very inception. But you had to have an enemy. If you didn't have an enemy, how would you get the Americans to be willing to pay their taxes? How would you get the Americans to be willing to have a massive military and the mightiest military? Do you realize we spend more on the American military than the next 20 nations in the world put together? Why is that? Well, of course, to thrust American power throughout the world. Now, if there is really a threat from Russia, from their intercontinental ballistic missiles, wouldn't you think that they would have put in a ballistic missile defense system in America long ago? Our leaders are not stupid. Any more than in the war on terror, if there was really a war on terror, wouldn't they have sealed our southern border or armed the airline pilots or put marshals on every plane, armed marshals to protect us from the wicked terrorists? And so there's a very definite similarity between the battle against communism and the battle against terrorism. There is the reality, and then there's the illusion that most people have. And certainly when you were working in the Department of Education, Charlotte, there was a definite relationship between our educational leaders and their educational leaders. And didn't you actually find the contracts that were signed that agreed to Sovietize our educational system?
Well, actually, I was fired three years before President Reagan signed the agreements with the Soviet Union. But I did find at the Office of Educational Research and Improvement, well, I was very fortunate. I had a friend there who was a career officer, and high up, too, by the way, who sent me incredible grants and contracts after I had been fired. And that was terrific. In fact, he was only one of several who did that. Career people.
And, of course, they knew what was going on. They didn't want to risk their career.
Oh,
but
so they sent it to me. But the conservatives, the so-called conservatives in the department, sent me nothing. The political appointees. They weren't about to go against the administration. But the interestingly enough, some of the, I mean, you know, a very small percentage of career officers did that, but they were very important.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here when we bring on another station. Okay, Dr. Stan back here, and our guest is Charlotte Isabey, and we're talking about, of course, what Charlotte discovered when she was working in the Department of Education and found out that, of course, they were really having secret deals and secret agreements with the Soviets. And, of course, that's going to get us into what we're really talking about today. And I briefly wanted to talk about, of course, the foundation of the Soviet Union. And, of course, there was a revolution in March of 1917. And, of course, many people will try to make you believe it was the Jewish financiers that contributed and were responsible, and that just isn't true. Certainly there were some Jewish financiers who hated the Tsar because, of course, he had a very anti-Semitic attitude and was allowing the pogroms there in Russia. But the man who was probably instrumental more than any other person in the March Revolution was a man named Lord Milner. And if you read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, we go into the background of that, and we'll give you the sources of documentation, even from the writings of the British ambassador to Moscow at that time, to St. Petersburg, spending, I think, 8 or 10 pages in his biography denying that they were financed the initial revolution. Why would they? Why, of course, to destroy a competitor and, of course, to bring in communism, the best enemy money could buy. And then, of course, Bruce Lockhart was sent by Lord Milner, who was part of the secret society that Cecil Rhodes had created. Bruce Lockhart was sent to Russia in 1919 to represent Lord Milner, and there was a gentleman there representing a member of the Federal Reserve Board in the United States, the book Imperial Agent, written in the 1920s. And what is it? Lenin is totally subservient to them, and coming to them, asking for their advice, and poor old Bruce Lockhart, he doesn't understand how the world is really run. And of course, he is just, well, he's just amazed. Why would Lenin be coming to us and looking for our advice and our support and our direction in what is happening in this brutal communist dictatorship? And then, of course, if you read Professor Sutton's books, Wall Street and the Bolshevik Revolution and his trilogy, Western Technology and Soviet Economic Development, you will find that we financed Russia from its very inception with grants from our Federal Reserve Board and money from our banks and our great corporations going in. But we can't let the American people know that. I mean, of course, Henry Ford defended his position in Germany supporting Adolf Hitler because Hitler was anti-communist, but everybody's forgotten. Henry Ford built the Ford Motor Plant in Gorky that even during the Vietnam War was turning out Ford trucks to carry the North Vietnamese down the Ho Chi Minh Trail so they could kill American boys in South Vietnam. But the American people are not to know that. Well, Charlotte has been very worried about some of the things happening in recent months here in the United States where, of course, prominent communists are coming over here, members of the KGB, and apparently some of them are getting jobs working for our government and the Office of Homeland Security. Why don't you pick up the story there, Charlotte?
Yes, well, I just, again, every morning now, I'm in habit, I call Senator Olympia Snowe's office to try to get some information about this, and Philip is the guy in charge of Homeland Security there, and he's always, I always have to leave a voice message, and he's always in a meeting, and it's hysterical, and I finally have informed them. I've said, look, it's been 5 months since I asked you if it is true that President Bush's administration has appointed or taken on board in the Department of Homeland Security two ex-KGB chiefs, namely Primakov, who also was president of Russia for 2 years, and also very close to Saddam Hussein, very, very close, very involved in everything that Hussein did over a period of 15 or 20 years. Can you imagine the Bush administration taking on board a close associate of a former president of Russia who was even very, very close to Saddam Hussein over the years?
I could believe that,
yes.
Because, of course, we were very close to Saddam Hussein, and we financed Saddam Hussein
right.
All during the 1980s, and, yeah. Of course, we sold him the chemical and biological weapons we're so concerned about, and we backed him when he used the chemical weapons on the Iranians, and he was our boy right up until 1990 when he invaded, of course, Kuwait. And, of course, many people believe that our ambassador, April Glaspie, mm-hmm. told him to go ahead. So
yeah.
Things are never as they appear to be, and anybody would like to verify what I said, you give us a call and we'll send you the article out of the Washington Post that tells you just exactly what I told you.
Well, it's true, but what I find so extraordinary is that they're so blatant. They think we're all so stupid that they can go ahead and appoint Primakov to this position with Karpov, former KGB general as well. You know, come on, folks. I think most of your listeners certainly know that KGB is very cruel, inhumane intelligence gathering security apparatus, no different from Himmler's in Germany, in Nazi Germany. And so to take him on would be similar to taking Eisenhower after World War II, taking on Heinrich Himmler to help the United States develop, in quotes, an internal passport. To me, this is so appalling that I can't even believe I'm saying it on the radio, but that's true. So I've been trying to document this, and my senator refuses to get back in touch with me, although 15 years ago, her office, when she was a congresswoman, was bugged by the very people that we are now using to develop an internal passport, the KGB. I remember that so well.
Well, I know that Howard Phillips, in his one of his newsletters, was talking about just what you're talking about, quoting Christopher Story, who's a very well-respected commentator who's written extensively about communism. And he said exactly what you just said, that Primakov and the other head of the KGB had been employed by the Office of Homeland Security to help supervise the new government that's going to protect our freedom. What is even more amazing is the American people have never wondered why Gorbachev, the former head of the KGB, the former dictator of Russia, the butcher of Afghanistan, has been given space at the Presidio for his State of the World Forum. and why, of course, men like George Shultz was initially on the board of that. That's George Shultz, the same man who's right next to Arnold Schwarzenegger, his co-advisor along with Warren Buffett. Gorbachev travels with the highest circles, works with the United Nations. He and Maurice Strong and, of course, Stephen Rockefeller have written the Earth Charter that is to replace the Ten Commandments. They've even put it in a replica of the Ark of the Covenant. They called it the Ark of Hope. And Gorbachev, of course, is almost worshipped. People like Ted Turner and Mabeki, the new president of South Africa, all on his board of directors, or this ex-head of the KGB. So why should we be surprised that another heads of the KGB are employed by our government? Maybe things are not exactly as the American people have been led to believe. Do you think that's possible?
Well, I certainly do think it's possible, and it's been for many, many years, and you've been trying, and I've been trying to get this information out, and I hate to say that when I tried to do this about the agreements with Reagan signed with Gorbachev, and by the way, that was Shultz, as Secretary of State, who signed the agreements with Shevard Nazi.
Well, why should we be surprised now? He's the right-hand man to Arnold Schwarzenegger, right?
That's right. And, so when I exposed that in an article, Human Events refused to publish my article.
Well, what that tells you a lot about Human Events, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, they said that their readers wouldn't understand it, but interestingly enough, the Bangor Daily News published it, and the Lobstermen in Maine understood it.
Right,
and it took me 3 years to get that information out. Finally, Robert Morris, wonderful Robert Morris, who was the counsel for the committee that investigated communism in the 50s, was made the president of America's Future, and my manuscript was sitting in his inbox in the inbox for 3 years there. No, they wouldn't touch it. America's Future wouldn't even touch it. And Morris got a hold of it and called me and said, "Charlotte, what is this?" And I said, "Thank you very much, because the conservative movement won't touch this."
Well,
and then after that happened, the Heritage Foundation, Ed Fulner, recommended that President Reagan move quickly to implement these agreements with the Soviet Union in education.
Well, of course, unfortunately, the conservative movement is being led by the same people who lead the liberal movement,
mm-hmm.
and both of them are moving us towards the one world order.
That's right.
And the one world religion. If you have that article, I will put it on my webpage if you'll send it to me.
What article is that?
The article that was published.
My Soviets in the Classroom.
Right.
You don't have that?
I don't have that.
I think it's on my website, but I'll send you a copy.
Okay, fine. Or if you could send me a disc with it on there.
I don't have a disc because it was done years ago.
See, all right, but it's on your website. If it's on your website, we can pull it down then electronically.
And it is, I'm pretty sure that, you know what? Well, you haven't got a subscription to my electronic version of the book, but for $20, people can subscribe. I should do that for you. Can subscribe to my book, and they can download it.
All right, fine.
DeliberateDumbingDown.com. But I'll see that you get a copy of that, Stan. Don't forget.
Go ahead. But I think it's so important that the American people understand that something like Human Events, which we think, of course, is so conservative, and that's giving us the information. Human Events, of course, is leading the conservative movement, just like the Pied Piper of Hamlet led the children, of course, to their destruction.
It's very sad.
Right. So many of our so-called conservative organizations are really, of course, as I said, controlled by the same people who control the liberal organizations. So you got your right, your left, your communists, your anti-communists, your Republicans, your Democrats, and they have a great time seeing how foolish the people are, choosing up sides and fighting back and forth, while, of course, the real agenda continues towards the New World Order, the New World Religion.
I think the tragedy with these large organizations in Washington, like Heritage, et cetera, is that they drain all the money from the local level, the grassroots. They get millions of dollars in contributions from old ladies. And we're stuck out here in the boonies trying to do it on our own to tell the truth.
You're absolutely right. It's about time American people begin to understand that they infiltrated both the right and the left many, many years ago. Because there is another force. It's neither right nor left. It doesn't pay any homage, of course, to America or to these socialist concepts. The ultimate goal is power. It's the force that Ian Fleming wrote about in his initial books on James Bond. We'll be right back here in just a moment at Radio Liberty.
One of our fascinating four tape sets is entitled Concentration Camps, and it's four interviews with people talking about the move to establish concentration camps in the United States. Now, most people say that's foolish talk. We couldn't have that. And yet, if you listen to these tapes, you'll find out that those camps are a reality. They are being set up in case of civil disturbance. And, of course, the authority for the establishment of the concentration camps comes from the executive orders, which were actually put through during the time of the Reagan administration. For documentation of the location and the background to the formation of these camps, their establishment, and what may very well happen, what they may be used for in the future, I suggest you call our 800 number, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for America. Our values, our future are under attack today.
Hello, garlic lovers. This is Radio Health journalist Bill Sardi to talk to you about a breakthrough in garlic technology. It's called Alamet. You know all the healthy reasons to take garlic, but isn't it time you got your money's worth? A recent study found the 24 leading brands of garlic pills provided little, if any, allicin, garlic's primary active ingredient. Try Alamex, which is the only odorless garlic supplement to provide pure allicin, a full 180 milligrams. That's the power of 15 fresh cloves of garlic. Alamex isn't available in stores, so call 866-405-4000. That's Alamex at 866-405-4000.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I just want to tell you a little bit about the Berkey water filters. We got one. If you are concerned about the taste of your water, the purity of your water, the contamination of your water, if you're concerned about the pesticides and herbicides and certainly toxic substances in your water, you may very well want to consider getting a Big Berkey or a Berkey Light water filter. And if you're concerned that there might be problems down the line as far as our ability to get water if there was a major cataclysm, event or a hurricane or who knows what it might be here in the West Coast or anywhere in the country, it would sure be nice to be able to have a filter that you could filter pool or pond or lake water and you wouldn't have to worry about drinking it. Well, that's just what the Big Berkey and the Berkey Light is. The Big Berkey has been what's been used by missionaries for 150 years. It's made of stainless steel. You put 2.5 gallons in the top. It flows down through the ceramic filters. And of course, that goes through the carbon on the inside of the filters, comes out the bottom. And of course, the water is in wonderful shape unless you have fluoride or arsenic or MTBE. And then, of course, you'll need post filters on the bottom that'll take it out, but it'll really clean up your water and make it taste great. The Big Berkey is $239.95 plus $10 shipping. And if you buy it through us, well, you get a four-tape set or a video that we produce. Now, the Big Berkey is available in every state but California and Iowa. But, of course, there is the Berkey Light, which is available in every state but Iowa. And, of course, these are portable. You can use them at home. You can use them in your recreational vehicle. And, of course, the Berkey Light has Lexan. It's what you make bulletproof glass out of, so it's clear, and you can see the water levels. And then, of course, the filters are, they call them Black Berkey filters. They do a better job than the ceramic filters, but you can clean the ceramic filters over and over again, even boil them and get rid of the impurities. You have to change the Big Berkey filters every couple of years, 2 to 4 years. So if you can see them on our website at radioliberty.com. You can order them by calling 1-800-544-8927. Well, Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course it's amazing how many ex-members of the KGB just like to come to America to of course, retire. Now, Gorbachev was certainly in charge of Russia when they were in Afghanistan, and they were killing little children and blowing off their arms and legs with these bombs that were made to look like toys, and of course it was part of terrorizing the population. But who has anybody called for punishing Gorbachev? No, a good old Gorbachev. You'll see his picture all across our magazines. And what you must understand is the plan has always been, from the very inception, to create a one-world order to so alter life in America that one day America could be peacefully merged not only with Russia but with China and the rest of the world. And, of course, our army and our financial power is being used to force all the other countries to go into this one-world government that will have a ruling world elite made of a people of great wealth, and then there'll be one ruler. And many of us fear that that one ruler will be the Antichrist. And, of course, this is the plan of the ancient secret societies that has been passed down through the ages. But, of course, this is the first time it has ever been possible to create a one-world government and a one-world order and a one-world dictatorship. Well, Charlotte, as you see this thing unfolding, and I know you try to warn people about bringing communists here and giving them positions in our government, and there's nothing to say that any of these people have rejected communism, so why are they bringing them here?
Because we've rejected our form of government.
I think that's a pretty good statement because, you see, our form of government was a republic, not a democracy. Our form of government restricted the power of the central authority. Our form of government is centralizing all power in Washington, D.C. in the name of fighting terrorism. Oh, we've got to fight the wicked Osama bin Laden. And yet, there were 12 different times when our government could have taken out Osama bin Laden from about 1996 on. And we refused to do it. Why would we do that? We even refused to try to get him in Afghanistan, even though that's why we went to war. And the president promised Osama bin Laden dead or alive. And, well, he's alive. Don't you worry. Because if you read the book Crude Politics, which we carry, and you want to get it, it's one of the best books that I've read in recent years, why they would not allow the American Special Forces to go after Osama bin Laden. Why? Well, of course, we wanted the Afghans to capture him. The Afghans loved him. He was their hero. And they escorted him across the border along with all the Al-Qaeda leadership, and they escaped. But, of course, we never went into Afghanistan to catch Osama bin Laden. But that's why we had to convince the American people. That's how we justified that war. And the war with Iraq, oh, there was weapons of mass destruction. Oh, no, we went there to liberate the people from the wicked Saddam Hussein, who had financed all through the years. Well, the truth of the matter is we went to Iraq so we would justify leaving our troops permanently in the Middle East, and you can find that on their website at newamericancentury.org. But I think every American should be concerned about these things. Don't you think so, Charlotte, when they lie to us consistently?
I do. We've been lied to, but the thing is, unless you're constantly 24 hours a day checking them in every possible way you can, internet, et cetera, you're not going, and know what to look for, you're not going to find out. But I'm looking right now at this, off of the internet, November 15, year 2002. And, this is a letter dated 1997. It says, comprehensive review of the whole question of peacekeeping operations. Think about this. In all their aspects, sustainable development, international economic cooperation. And then you have the Russian-Chinese Joint Declaration on a Multipolar World and the Establishment of a New International Order. And letter dated 15 May 1997 from the Permanent Representatives of China and the Russian Federation to the United Nations addressed to the Secretary General. We have the honor to transmit herewith the text of the Declaration on a Multipolar World and the Establishment of a New International Order, adopted in Moscow 23rd April 1997 during the state visit of the Chinese President of China and the Russian Federation, okay? And then it goes on and it talks about how it's all peaceful now, the bipolar system has vanished, the Cold War is over, broad-based international cooperation is expanding, the establishment of peaceful, stable, just, and rational, new blah, blah, non-interference and other, you know, on and on. This is a document signed by both countries, which actually documents what Stan and I are saying. It's not that it's going to happen. It has happened.
And, of course, the American people are so lulled asleep because they honestly believe what they see on major television channels. They believe what Rush Limbaugh is telling them and of course, O'Reilly. And it's about time the American people started to think and realize that somebody's controlling their reality. We're going to be back here in just a moment or two. We'll welcome your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295.
Have you ever wondered about the boys we left behind in Vietnam, in Korea? Did you ever know that we left 25,000 American boys behind in Russia, in Siberia, at the end of the Second World War? Have you ever wondered what really happened in Oklahoma City, what really happened at the PWA 800 on the roofing room of the Eastern Coast at Yagami? Well, ladies and gentlemen, all of the subjects are well covered in a fascinating book by Fred Lovitz entitled The Medusa File. Call him 800-5-HIV or order The Medusa File. Actually, Craig Roberts was a police officer working with the Oklahoma City bombing, and this book has been suppressed very effectively across America, and it's self-published, but I promise you that there's no other book anywhere that will give you a more contemporary history, frightening history that every American needs to know. Call 1-800-5-HIV or now.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and of course I want to tell you about some of the other items that we carry. And of course we carry the Miracle 2 soap products, and we can't make any medical claims for them, but we will tell you that many of the people that we have sold them to or have used the products really do believe that they're miraculous, and they give us all sorts of stories of girls with acne and fellas with rashes. And all we can do is suggest you try them and see if they'll help you. There's a soap and a moisturizing soap and a neutralizer, and there is a lotion and a gel. And that gel, I've had an Lecranon Versa. I used it on there. Now, no medical reason at all, it should work. But, of course, the doctors were telling me I was going to have to take it out. And I got him to aspirate it, started putting it on there, and it just went away completely. The pain was gone, and I don't know why it works. And I can't tell you it's going to work for you, but I can tell you that these are wonderful products. Try them. Miracle 2 soap products are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV. Or go to our website and read what the producers say about them and decide if you want to try them. And then, of course, we also carry Phenopoly. It's a program designed to teach you or your children, your grandchildren, how to read and spell and pronounce words phonetically. It's a board game, 5 board games, 2 bonus games. In 16 hours, you can change a child's life, and they can begin to read and spell. And it's a wonderful, wonderful program. Most of these programs, $300, $400, $500, $600. This is $139.95. And, of course, we go ahead and you will really want to get it. That's Phenopoly. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. And you don't have to be a child. You don't even have to be a young adult. Some people 60 or more have used these and benefited. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this afternoon is Charlotte Isabey. Her book, The Deliberate Dumbing Down of America. We carry that, and I'm going to let Charlotte give her a website so you can get in touch with her and get other information. Would you like to get your website out there, Charlotte?
Yes, I was thinking about that, Stan. That it is easy. It's like the title of the book, Deliberate Dumbing Down. Those three words together, .com. And I was just thinking it's important for them to go on the web because you can click on school choice and school restructuring. There's some little, you know, links you can click on here about myself, my reactions, reviews, book order, all that stuff. But there's one, the school choice, school restructuring. And if you go to the school restructuring article, you will pretty much find everything that I ever talk about, how the communist agenda has been put in, the chronological entries starting in the beginning of the last century, William Foster's book, Toward a Soviet America, the Carnegie role, all the way through to this moment, and how George Bush is implementing it through the school-to-work agenda, the Soviet polytech system, through the faith-based initiative, which is the government taking over the churches, through school choice, which will be taking over the private schools and homeschoolers, through regional government, through the community-oriented policing system, all of this, don't forget, community-oriented policing system, that is why, in a way, we have the KGB chiefs over here advising us on developing an internal passport.
All right.
This has all been done, and you'll see this in my article. please print it out. Do whatever you want with it. The article explains exactly what I tried to talk about in interviews.
All right, fine. And any of you who would like to see that article that, of course, Howard Phillips had written in his... Howard is a very, very reliable individual. You got the copy I sent you, didn't you?
Yes.
Okay.
I talked to Howard today, yes.
Okay, let's go to Roger calling from Allentown, Pennsylvania. Hi, Roger. Question or comment?
Yeah, and I trust you two are ahead of the curve on the nationwide push to drive out the sheriffs, and so as to...
Okay, of course. The sheriff, of course, is the most powerful person in the county, and he can tell the federal government just to get out. They want a federal police force. They're using the threat of terrorism to establish a federal police force. In Germany, they called it the Gestapo. Here we call it Homeland Security, but of course that is exactly what they had in Hitler's Germany, to protect the people from the wicked communists. What else?
I do have a couple questions. First, with all the business buzzwords like core competencies, aren't you two being a little overcritical of the selection of Primakov? I mean, you do choose if you want to develop a police state, then you... choose people that are experts in their respective fields, right?
Right. Well, he would certainly be qualified as an expert, having come from the KGB, but then, of course, we also have a CIA, in fact. In Russia, why they took the head of the KGB, they made him the dictator of Russia. Here in the United States, they took the head of the CIA, and they made him the vice president of the United States, and then the president of the United States, and now his son is the president of the United States. Thanks so much. Roger, anything else you want to say?
Yeah, is it possible, Charlotte, that for those that are, say, not fully alloyed with the neocons or their agendas, your stalwart popular conservatives, that they could be really quite so oblivious in fawning over Bush? It requires sort of universal ignorance. You have somebody like Ann Coulter, who's a big expert, say, on McCarthy, and she does an admirable job of popularizing McCarthy, especially for the younger generations. And yet at the same time, we conservatives are so right in every area but one, namely conspiracy.
Of course, remember Ann Coulter writes for Human Events. She's a very nice lady. I've interviewed her. But she is not old enough to understand. And, of course, we don't have time to educate her. Right now, we've got to educate the public, and maybe they can educate her. Hey, thanks so much, Roger. Let's go to Sam calling from Maryland. Hi, Sam. How are you?
Well, Doc, I'm glad to hear you getting your voice back.
I am, too. I'll tell you what, it was pretty bad there for a couple of weeks, but it's almost back to normal.
I was getting worried about you.
Well, thank you.
Well, good evening, Charlotte. Probably 2 or 3 years since I talked to you.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to let you know things are sort of looking up here in Maryland a little bit.
I understand you got at least one or two conservatives there in your state assembly.
Well, this is what I wanted to pass on to her. The director of the Institute for the Constitution happens to be a member of the House of Delegates.
Good.
And, of course, that's David Dreyer, isn't it? What's his
name? Right, Don Dreyer.
Don Dreyer, right.
And also there's, and I'm not going to mention the name, but there's an acquaintance that Charlotte and I have that I put her in touch with is now in the Senate. And she has recently discovered some interesting things concerning a connection with the textbook manufacturers, and I thought maybe it'd be timely for you to give her a call.
Okay. Anything else, Sam?
That's it.
All right, fine. Well, there are lots of good things happening out there. We are getting some good people into the state senates and the state assembly, and we got Michelle Brofman up there and in the state of Minnesota, Michelle Brofman.
She's great.
And, of course, what we need, of course, is for you out here in the hinterlands to be willing to get involved, to be able to put your time and your money and your effort into, first of all, educating people and then getting them to elect responsible people, because freedom once lost is never regained. Well, Charlotte, what sort of response have you gotten to your article about Primakov being employed by the Office of Homeland Security, and what was Howard Phillips' take when you talked to him? Because certainly Howard has his finger on the pulse of this nation better than anybody I know.
Well, he said that I'm going to have a very hard time getting the Congress, anyone in Congress, to admit that this is what happened, and that I probably have to go in under Freedom of Information Act. And I said, well, I don't really know. I think I can write an article, you know, and get it published in a major newspaper in Maine that will scare Olympia Snow to death. I really do believe we do have, that can be done. I'm going to do that. I'm going to put together all of the information I have about the merger. You know, going back to 1953 and Norman Dodd, I'm going to include all of this stuff. Try to keep it fairly short. I'll have one short version for the media and a longer one for the internet. But I'm going to put this thing together, and I can't believe that I keep making the analogy is, Eisenhower, who was bad enough, you know, he did bring over a lot of Nazis anyway into the country. They were brought over after the war to help us with things. But had he brought Himmler over, Heinrich Himmler, I think the American people would have been pretty upset if they'd set him up and paid him a salary in the Justice Department to develop an internal passport. I begin to ask myself, where am I? What is going on in this country that the American people will allow a conservative Christian president to bring this guy Primakov over, who was probably the closest to Saddam Hussein? He speaks Arabic fluently. What on earth is going on? And then we're meant to be, our sons and daughters are dying over there, and we're bringing a Soviet type over here to help us fight terrorism, which our effort in Iraq is supposed to be taken care of. I mean, am I crazy or something?
Well, let me tell you that the people in positions of power sacrifice the lives of our boys regularly for to expedite their agenda. And for anybody who doubts that, you need to get, of course, the book, The Final Days by Woodward and Bernstein, The Final Days, page 194, where Henry Kissinger explains how the elite feel about our boys and girls we sent overseas to fight for America. He called them stupid, dumb animals to be used for public policy purposes. Stupid, dumb animals.
Oh,
that's Henry Kissinger, the man the president selected to head the 911 investigation.
That's right.
Fortunately, he didn't do it, but people have to understand that you get the sort of government you deserve. And, of course, when you're given a choice of two people, both controlled by the establishment, it really doesn't matter who is elected because their candidate always wins. And anybody who doubts that they don't create the candidates, I want you to remember on September 17th of this month why General Wesley Clark, declared his candidacy for the president. Within a week, he was on the cover of Newsweek magazine,
right.
And the CNN polls were already showing that in a vote between he and George Bush, he would get 47%, Bush would get 42%. Now, remember, he only declared his candidacy on the 17th. He is now the leading candidate, fundraiser. Do you honestly believe that the American people love Wesley Clark that much? Of course not. He's being created by the media because he is a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, and he just happens to be a Rhodes Scholar. And, of course, this all ties back to the Rhodes Scholarships and the secret society Cecil Rhodes created to capture control of the media and the wealth of the world. And that's all covered in Professor Quigley's book, and he was Bill Clinton's mentor. The book is entitled The Anglo-American Establishment. You need to get it. You need to read it. You need to understand that they play games on people. And, of course, most people have no idea what's going on.
Well, you know, Stan, I don't know if we're going for a break now, but, you know, an instance of that that's quite recent is that Bill Clinton met with the first George Bush, right, President Bush, Daddy, 14 times for lunch at the Pratt House, Council of Foreign Relations headquarters in New York City. That's very interesting. Why would Bill, this is when they were running against each other, 14 times, and I was told that by John Gatto, whose wife is a very good cook, who was cooking for, she had a cooking class in Pratt House downstairs, and she cooked 14 lunches for Bill Clinton and President George Bush Sr.
Isn't that interesting? Well, of course, everything is sort of a game. You see these people up on the stage, and they're all criticizing one another, and, oh, you're, you know, I'm pro-life, and I'm pro-choice,
yeah,
and I'm pro-homosexual, and I'm anti-homosexual agenda, and I'm pro-defense, and I'm against defense, and I'm in favor of cutting taxes, and I want to raise taxes, and it's all showbiz. That's what it's really all about. And until people understand that, why, nothing's going to change.
Well, until people start trying to dig themselves to get the truth and don't listen to anything on the nightly news, or at least don't believe it until you've checked it out, there isn't any hope.
Well, of course, our job, you know, it's interesting. I just found we're on a news station in Kansas now that pulling us down, and that takes us up to almost 60 outlets across America on a regular basis. And little bit by little bit, more and more people are having an opportunity to get the truth. And we just simply say, if you don't believe what we say, why, you ask us to verify what we're talking about, and we'll tell you the places you can go, the books written by many times people on the other side, even articles out of the Washington Post that will tell you how we finance this Islamic fundamentalist concept by funding textbooks, $51 million for textbooks to push the radical Islamic concepts within Afghanistan and Pakistan during the 1980s. Why would we be training young men that they should kill the infidels, die for Allah, be willing, of course, to go to paradise by killing the infidels and dying in battle? Why would we be subsidizing that with our tax money when here in the United States we can't even mention Jesus Christ or Christmas? Well, of course, they said, well, we had to, because they wouldn't have used the textbooks if we hadn't pushed the radical Islamic agenda. Let me tell you, most Muslims prior to the United States going in and funding that weren't radical Islamists, but we've raised a whole generation who are, thanks to our tax money. Your tax money at work. And if you want the articles on that, give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and prove me wrong. Well, you know, what sort of response? Now, you put that article about Primakov working here some time ago. What happened?
I did. Well, of course, there were those who got after me and said, you have to have more documentation. You know, so then I pulled back and I called American Free Press and I told them that I was concerned about this, and they said they weren't at all concerned because they'd never had a problem with Al Martin's information. And then I just decided, I put a caveat on my article saying that until I could get information from the government, I wanted people just to understand that I didn't have the documentation from the government.
Well, now, what about this article from this Center for Security Analysis? Or what was that that website that you had?
Well, that's very important. The New York Times had this article in August. The Center for Counterintelligence and Security Studies, a very important article. It says former top Russian spy pledges new allegiance, and this is Oleg Kalugin, a retired KGB general. Now, he is the one who gave this information to, whether it was Al Martin or Christopher Story, I don't know who, but it was Kalugin who gave the information out that the Bush administration had hired these two ex-KGB generals, who, of course, he knows very well because he's a KGB general himself, very high up. He was all involved in some of the biggest cases, spies, against the United States. But it says here that Kalugin, who's now become an American citizen, the New York Times article, has made a comfortable living in the land he once plotted against. He is a professor at the Center for Counterintelligence and Security Studies, a consulting service in Alexandria, Virginia, founded in 1997. And it goes on, and that is where I found my most important information, because I went on the web, and there it said that this center was hiring ex-KGB agents, and that the government was using their advice. And this is when I realized, okay.
What is that? That's the Center for Counterintelligence Studies?
People can go on the Internet. They can go to the website. Center, go to Google, right, or your search engine. Center for Counterintelligence, that's one word, counterintelligence, and security studies. And it'll open up, and you will be able to see what I saw. This is an outfit that, sure, there's some good people working for it. There's no question about that. And I'm sure they do some good things. But you will see this is where these ex-KGB types have found their little nest. And if anybody thinks that Russia has given up on communism, you know, they just don't know their history. It never, ever will.
But, of course, there never was any communism in Russia. It was always an authoritarian system with a massive police state that kept the people in line, just exactly as we are headed today. Of course, in the name of fighting terrorism.
Well, communism is just international government.
Sure.
It's a totalitarian system where you don't have any elected officials. You have, you have exactly what you'll see in my article that will be implemented. You have councils. If you look under, in the dictionary for council, you'll see Soviet. If you look, for under communitarianism, which is what George Bush is putting in, you'll see a form of communism. So you've got to understand that international government is communism.
And of course, even domestic government, if it is all-powerful, a totalitarian state, and of course, and it really doesn't matter, both political candidates are controlled by the same people. It really doesn't matter who you vote for, whether it's going to be a Wesley Clark from the Rhodes Scholarship and CFR, or George Bush, who surrounds himself with people from the CFR. You have your choice of different parties, but the same policies always continue, no matter who's there. Charlotte, we're out of time. God bless you. Thanks so much for being with us again.
Thank you, Stan.
Bye-bye.
Good evening. Bye.
Book that will really help you to understand the nature of the spiritual battle in which we're currently involved is Gary Carr's book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism. Now, you may remember Gary Carr's book, Ear to Global Occupation. His second book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism, goes into the very real spiritual forces, the dark and sinister spiritual forces, which have energized those people who are molding the world in which we live today. Going into the background of Masonry, Theosophy, and he actually quotes extensively from the writings of these people who have helped to mold the events of the 20th century. The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Carr will give you tremendous insight into the background of what's happening in America today. And unless you understand the spiritual forces at work, you really can't understand the unfolding of events. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Carr.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I just want to mention, if you have not yet seen my video, Iraq, the Untold Story, you really need to get it, because, of course, we go into why we're really in Iraq, and we give you the sources of reference, where you can go on the website to the website of the Project for the New American Century. These are the neocons who control our government today, and in 1998, they were planning the war on Iraq. And, of course, they tell you in their publication, Rebuilding America's Defenses, on their website in the year 2000, that it really doesn't matter whether Saddam Hussein's in power or not. The necessity to have American troops stationed in the Middle East permanently transcends the regime of Saddam Hussein. So they're not telling the American people the truth. You need to get our video, Iraq, the Untold Story, and there's a video with it which will give you the documentation for everything we say about how all the wars of the last century were simply contrived. And the young men and women who died in those battles and those wars were sent off simply as a cover to distract the American people from the ultimate goal, the New World Order, the New World Religion, to make the world safe for democracy, the war to end all wars. Wonderful words that they knew, of course, were a lie. But you could rally the American people behind it, just as the stories that they used in the First World War of the wicked Huns raping the women. And then when I hear our President of the United States talking about the wicked Saddam Hussein, who we incidentally financed all during the 1980s, and his rape rooms, what a terrible man he was, and he was a terrible man. And the mass graves where thousands of people had died. But a lot of those are the Shiites who believed George W. Bush's father and rose up in 1991 when George Bush told them to rise up and we'd come to their aid. And, of course, they rose up. They were killed en masse by the tens of thousands and buried. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and this is the time I want to tell you about a couple of things. One of them is, of course, the MediShare. And if you don't have health insurance or it's too expensive for you, let me suggest that you might be interested in a Christian health cost sharing organization called MediShare. And if you are, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and we'll put you in touch with the MediShare people. And then, of course, we want to mention the Robinson Homeschool Curriculum. And if you have a child you'd like, of course, to homeschool, there's no better way to do it than with the Robinson Homeschool Curriculum. Dr. Art Robinson's a personal friend, and this is what he used to train his six children with. And, of course, for $199.95, you get 22 CDs with a whole educational program on there, the textbooks, many books that you want your children reading, Huckleberry Finn and Tom Sawyer, and everything's there, the lesson plans, the tests, the answers to the tests. The only thing you have to buy is separate of the Saxon textbooks, the Saxon math textbooks, and that's, of course, $199.95 for the entire Robinson Homeschool curriculum. Let me suggest, if you love your children or grandchildren, get them out of the government schools, and no better way to do that than the Robinson Homeschool curriculum. And then, of course, we want to suggest, we hope that many of you out there will join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, because that's how we're able to do what we do 5 hours a day, reaching out across America. So if you'd like, of course, to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And then, of course, if you'd like to get a free copy of our newsletter, I think our September newsletter is very good because it contains the suppressed or censored testimony of Mindy Kleinberg. She testified before the Senate House Committee, this new joint committee that George Bush has put together. And, of course, he didn't want any investigation at all. And why, if there's nothing to be concerned about, did they do everything they could to block it? Well, anyway, they had Mindy Kleinberg testify, I believe in March of this year, about what happened to her and her family on September 11th. Her husband died in the North Tower. That testimony was totally blocked out by the controlled media. You can get it off the Internet, or you can get it from our September newsletter. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. As for the September of Radio Liberty newsletter, we'll send it to you free of charge. We hope you'll want to, of course, subscribe. We hope you'll want to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, but we send it to you without any requirement. We just want you to have it, and we hope you'll be interested enough that you'll want to join us in this epic struggle to determine whether this nation or any nation conceived as a Christian nation unto God can long endure, or whether, as Abraham Lincoln feared, we should disappear from the earth. And so we would also, of course, suggest you go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's www.radioliberty.com. You can pull down our newsletters there free of charge, and you can copy them. You can, of course, pull down our archive programs, or you can listen to us live 5 hours every day and not get anything accomplished, but you'll learn an awful lot. And then, of course, we want you to tell others about our radio programs. We want you to tell others about our website and encourage them to go there and get the information and then get the books. There's a whole section there on the books that are, so many of these are suppressed. They're very difficult to get. And we make them available to you, the four tape sets, the videos. We even have a video special. You can get any five of the videos we produced for $69.95, and we pay the postage. And then, of course, we ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for revival, because this is truly a spiritual battle, and it has been the plan of the ancient mysteries and the mystery religions to create this one world government that, of course, the current administration is working so strongly for. And, of course, we also ask you to pray for revival in America. We ask you to pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. And so until tomorrow at the same time, may the Lord be with you.